Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 12. The book of Matthew in chapter 12. In the passage of Scripture which we are dealing with this morning, found in verses 22 through 37. And it starts off with one being brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was possessed of a devil. And because of that possession, he was blind and dumb. And Jesus healed him. And the blind and dumb was made to see and to speak. And this irritated those Pharisees. And scribes, as one of the other Gospels lets us know. And generally, where you found the Pharisees, you found the scribes. They pretty much were inseparable. And so they said that he had cast out devils with the power of Beelzebub, with the power of Satan. And Jesus responds to them, and his response is a lengthy one. Takes up verse 25 through verse 37. So obviously we'll not get through all of his response this morning. Title of this message is The Blasphemy of the Pharisees, which probably a great host of unsaved are guilty of blasphemy. This blasphemy is distinguished as a blasphemy against the Son. That shall be forgiven. And not blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Amen. But as we begin to look at this, we want to notice, first of all, its cause, the cause for the blasphemy, why they blasphemed him. And we find that in verses 22 and 23. Then was brought unto him, unto Jesus, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. Here's a man under the power of Satan. He was in a sad state. He was under the power of the devil. And because of that power, he was blind and dumb. And I would say this morning, to all under the sound of my voice, that to be in the natural state, the natural man, apart from salvation and through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the same condition this morning as that man. You're under the power of Satan, and you're blind to the things of God and cannot speak His praises. As we consider the condition of this man and all who are spiritually in this condition, what a miserable condition to be in. He could not see to help himself, and he could not call to another to help him. He had to be brought to Christ. And all who are in that condition this morning need to be brought to Christ. They need to be brought to Jesus for healing, that they might see the things of God and speak the praises of God. You see, men under the power of Satan, of which all are from birth until grace or until death, are blind to the things of God and cannot speak the praises of God. It's an impossibility. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, in verse 3. You see, you cannot see the truth contained in the gospel, the truth of the gospel. You cannot see the truth. You cannot see Jesus Christ. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Because you are in unbelief, Satan has blinded your mind to the gospel. And you cannot see. Furthermore, you cannot speak the praises of God. You can only do as what we find in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 31, and in verse 18, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. That is the condition you're in this morning if you have not been brought to Jesus. If Jesus, you have not been brought to Jesus and Jesus has not healed you, you are in that condition. You have lying lips. You're proud of yourself and you speak evil against the righteous one and against those who the righteous one has made righteous. What a miserable condition to be in. And I know it to be a miserable condition because I once was in that condition. For almost 21 years, I was in. Well, actually almost 22 years, I was in that condition. But praise God. I was brought to Jesus, and He healed me. And now I've been able to see the things of God. I've been able to see the glory of God, and I've been able to speak His praises. We notice here that this cure of this man was instantaneous. It's yet in the first verse. I mean, this man was brought to Jesus, possessed of a devil, blind and dumb, and He healed him so that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. I mean, just that quick. Amen. One moment, he could not see and he could not speak, and the next moment, he could see and speak. And that's the way it is with sinners who come to Christ, who are brought to Christ, and Jesus heals them. One minute they can't see the things of God, and they can't speak His praises, and the next moment they can see the things of God, and they can speak forth His praises. Praise God. When the power of Satan is broken in the soul of man, his eyes are opened to see. To see the glory of God, to see the things of God, and to speak His wonderful praises. His lips speak those wonderful praises. Psalms, the book of Psalms again in chapter 40. In verse 3, "And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Verse 5, "Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. But I will continue to try and speak forth as many of them as I can." Amen. Amen. I might not be able to speak forth all of them, because they're more than can be numbered. But I'll speak forth the ones that He brings to remembrance, and the ones that He's been manifested and showed unto me.
Amen.
You see? And so we speak forth His praises. We see the things of God, the glory of God, and we speak forth His praises as much as we can, what He's done for us. In verse 23, we simply see that the people were amazed. All the people. Well, all those that were present, at least, were amazed. And said, "Is not this the son of David?" They were amazed. Is not it amazing? An amazing wonder? An astonishment? A wonderment? When one in such a condition as this one was, when one in such a spiritual condition as this is made to see Jesus Christ and to begin to speak His praises, oh, it's wonder of wonders. I think there's a song, something to that effect. Wonder of wonders that He saved me. I was in that condition. I'm no longer in that condition. One day I was, one day I wasn't. Praise God.
Amen.
You see, just as Saul of Tarsus didn't see the things of God. He didn't see Jesus Christ. He believed Jesus Christ to be a lie, to be a fake. In fact, he hated his way, and he hated all who were in his way. Until one day, the light shone. And oh, it shone brightly. And old Saul of Tarsus became Paul. the missionary. He saw the things of God. He saw Jesus Christ. And he began to speak forth his praises. I mean, he didn't wait hardly any time at all. We find immediately after that, we find him praying. And Ananias restoring his sight. And the next minute, we find him preaching. Preaching the glorious praises of God and the truth of God's Word. Just as you and I, we can experience, we can relate with Paul. We can relate with this man who one moment was blind and dumb. And then the next moment, he saw and is speaking.
Amen.
This was such a display of divine power. What a display of divine power it is. And that is proof that the one who wrought it, the one who worked it, had to be the Messiah. It had to be the power of God. And so much so, and so they said, is not this the son of David? This is not this the Messiah? That's what that phrase means. Is not this the son of David? Listen, folks, it wasn't a question. It wasn't an inquiry. They weren't inquiring. It was a fact of affirmation. They were proclaiming, this has got to be the son of David, doesn't it? The son of David was referenced to the Messiah. And if you were any kind of Israelite at all, you knew the prophecy that the Messiah would come, would be raised up of the seed of David. And so that term was just synonymous with the fact of the one that had to be the Messiah. Who can this be but the true Messiah? For his works testify of him. That's what they were saying in that statement. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 14. And verse 11. Jesus here speaking to the 12, and particularly in response to Philip here, he said, believe me, in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. In other words, believe that I am God. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. You see, the works that I do, they testify of me.
Amen.
He said, and that's what these ones who were amazed were saying. His works testify. This is the Messiah. This is the anointed. This is the seed of David. This is the Son of God.
Amen.
Then we come to verse 24. That blasphemous accusation. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Oh, here we go again. Here we go again. Those Pharisees, those self-righteous, proud, hypocritical Pharisees, trying to stir up trouble. Why those hypocrites? Jesus' whole life, as we've even followed it to this point, we've been able to see it. And we're not even, we're probably not even halfway through his life at this point as we're following it through Matthew. But his whole life was one of love. It was one of mercy. And it was one of kindness and compassion. Why, as we just learned last week and saw last week, he was full of a gentle spirit. And so in chapter 11, verse 29, he tells us to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. His very being was an irritant. It irritated the Pharisees. They were not irritated because of the miracle he had just performed, but because the people stated that he was the Messiah. I mean, they were giving more honor unto him. They were giving more glory unto him. If this is the Son of God, if this is the Messiah, in fact, is the seed of David, why, that's more honorable and more glorious than being the Pharisees were. And so the Pharisees scorned him. We first note that by the words, "this fellow." If you follow that through, when the Pharisees or one says, "this fellow," it's a term of derision. It's a term and an expression of contempt, of scorn. "This fellow." Well, it wasn't even this man. No, it was this fellow. And they were so filled with contempt, they would not even let the precious name of Jesus fall upon their lips. How sad. The wonderful, precious name of Jesus. Of course, you and I know it to be wonderful and precious because he's done a great work. He's done a great work in my life. He's done a great work in your life. If you're saved this morning, praise the name of Jesus. And they blasphemed him. They blasphemed him. They said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebul, the prince of devils." They could not deny the miracle. No, they knew that such miracles had to be the power of God. They couldn't deny his miracles. In fact, they told Jesus later on in the book of John in chapter 10 and in verse 33, they said, when they had picked up stones and wanted to stone Jesus, they said, "It's not for a good work that we stone thee, but because thou makest thyself the Son of God." That's why we want to stone you. That's why we want to put you to death. Not because you've done good works. We have to admit the works you've done have been good, been great works. But because you made yourself the Son of God. And so we could see their anger here with the crowds being amazed and saying, "Hey, this has to be the seed of David, the Son of David. This has to be the Messiah." But to deny that this was the Son of David, the Messiah, what can we do? What can we do to deny that? They were filled with such hate, such contempt that they said, "Why, we got to discredit him. And how can we discredit him but by saying the work that he does is under the power of Satan? It's by the prince of the devils." He's in league with Satan. That's what they were saying by saying that. He's in league with Satan. Well, As we said in verses 25 through 37, we have the Lord Jesus Christ's response. First of all, we note his knowledge. Verse 25 said, "And Jesus knew their thoughts." Oh, only Jesus, only God can know that. You see, sometimes we can be as husband and wife because we've been married so long and become so familiar with one another, we can be accused of knowing one another's thoughts. It's just because we know the individual. We've gotten to know them, but I can't know what she's thinking all the time. I can anticipate what she's going to do under certain circumstances and situations. She can anticipate what I'm going to do or say under certain circumstances or situations. But she don't know my thoughts all the time, and I wouldn't want her to. I don't know her thoughts all the time, and I probably wouldn't want to know her thoughts all the time as well. But Jesus knew. He knew their thoughts. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what is in man. He knows our thoughts afar off. In John chapter 2, makes this statement concerning Jesus in verse 24 and 25. "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." He didn't need someone to tell him about man. He knew what was in man. And then that glorious, wonderful chapter, which I love dearly in the book of Psalms, and in 139, and I just wish that I could live more aware of this psalm every day of my life. But it is a blessed psalm nonetheless. Psalms 139 and verse 2, it says, O Lord, verse 1 starts out, "O Lord, O Jehovah, O God, thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." That word understandest goes to not only just knowing them, but considering. He considers my thoughts. And when does he know? When I think them? No. Afar off. Yeah. He knows them and considers them before I even think them. Right. He knows what's going to enter my mind. Amen. What I'm going to think. Verse 3. "Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." That word compass there goes to the Hebrew word actually goes to the thought of winnowing. Winnowing, and so he even sifts my paths and separates the chaff out, and he knows what's left that is, if there be anything good left. Well, that's really knowing.
Amen.
That's really knowing my past, knowing me. Hey, listen, he surrounded me. He surrounded me. There's not a thing he doesn't know about me. My past and my ways. He's acquainted with all my ways, it says. Next, we want to consider his wisdom. Christ's reply is abundant and urgent, that every mouth might be stopped. As we're told in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, the law speaks. And the law speaks, why? That every mouth might be stopped and the whole world may become guilty before Him. And the words of Christ are urgent. They're abundant. He refers His adversaries to principles which they could not deny. The very principles which they could not deny. Look at verses 25 and 26. He says this. He said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? Now listen, that's a principle that all men know. It's a principle that the whole world knows and is aware of. We've seen it down through the years. We've seen it down through the ages. If you study history at all, if you know history, any history, you know that a nation divided against itself cannot stand. It will fall. And so as we see America becoming more and more divided, and becoming a divided nation and not a united nation, she's about to fall. And Jesus is just using that principle in His reasoning. Oh, what a principle of wisdom. You say that the power in which I do the works is under the power of Satan. Well, Satan is opposed to me. The application of our text is that Satan is not divided. Satan's not against himself. Jesus Christ is not divided. Jesus Christ is not against himself. Satan is not united with Christ. That's two opposites. Yes. Jesus Christ is not united with Satan in any way, shape, or form. Amen. It's two opposites. That is our text. The host of Satan were united. They were banded together in their opposition of the Savior. They were out to discredit Him. They were out to destroy Him. And boy, they were working with these Pharisees to try to discredit Him and His ministry in any way, shape, or form they could. But it was to no avail, thank God. Thank God it was to no avail. You and I wouldn't be here today if Satan had won. Satan hasn't won, but he's still trying to oppose Him. But he knows his days are numbered. Look at the wisdom of Jesus as we consider on in verse 27. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils. Look, notice the wisdom here. By whom do your children cast them out? I like that. If I cast out devils by the power of Satan, by the power of Beelzebub, then of whom does your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. You see, that's to say, as if I cast them out by the power of Satan, then your children cast them out by the same power. Oh, and the Pharisees wouldn't have even gone there with that. I mean, no. They were above that. You can just see it. Think it. I mean, after all, they had their exorcists. Did they not? Did they not? Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 19. And verse 31, 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of Sceva, of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. Exorcist. He was an exorcist. And the evil spirit just looked at him and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Kind of comical, isn't it? Well, not only that, there were some who in Christ's name cast out devils. In Mark the 9th chapter and verse 38, said, "And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, but there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part." He's for us. Then, well, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, we have the many, whom Jesus does not know, by the way. 7 and verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And so, Jesus, in great wisdom, used that scenario. Well, by whom do your children then cast them out? If I cast them out under the power of Satan, then they do too. You see. Well, in verse 28, we have a true explanation of his power. A true explanation of the power by which Jesus Christ worked. Verse 28, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." Praise God. The works he did were not the works of Satan. The works he did were of God. They were of the Spirit of God. And because they were of the Spirit of God, he has come. The kingdom is here. It's right now. The work of Christ was the work of God. The three in one. In the book of Luke, in chapter 4 and verse 1, it tells us Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Spirit there. Turn with me to the 11th chapter of Luke. In verse 20, which is actually Luke's counterpart with Matthew on this course, where Jesus says in chapter 11 and verse 20, he says, "But if I with the finger of God," in other words, if I, God, "cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon." Do you see the connection there? We have the Spirit of God, we have Jesus Christ, and we have God. The three. the kingdom has come. He is God. The casting out of devils was a manifest token of the kingdom of God. Being here now, the Son of God has come. The Messiah has come. Turn with me back to the book of John and in chapter 14 again. John in chapter 14. Look with me here at verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath sent me hath seen the Father. Or he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? What did Jesus just say there? You've seen God. You see me, you see God. Yes. Believest thou not that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or if you don't want to believe my word for it, you don't want to take my word for it, believe the very work's sake. Believe the works that I do, the power that manifested. Listen, I know that the power that was worked upon me was the power of God. Listen, for years I tried to change my life. I tried to be different. I say, oh, this sin has got to go. This is terrible. Oh, I hate this sin. But I couldn't do nothing about it. I was powerless to get rid of it myself. But when the power of God came, I knew it to be the power of God. You see? So, he that is stronger is here. You see how verse 28 led up to what he's going to say in verse 29? God is here. The kingdom is here. He that is stronger, his kingdom is stronger than the kingdom of Satan. He's here. Look at what he said in verse 29. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you, verse 29, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Do you see the picture there that Jesus is giving? Satan is the strong man. It's his house. It is his kingdom. But Jesus has come. God has come. He has bound Satan, and now he can spoil his good. He cast out devils. Jesus, by the power of God, casting out devils, and bound Satan and spoils his kingdom.
Amen.
Makes men anew. Who is it that can bind a strong man? Well, one that is stronger. One that is stronger, one that is greater in power, can bind a strong man. Jesus, God, is greater in power, greater in strength, greater in honor, greater in glory.
Amen.
And he binds Satan every time he cast out Satan. He cast out Satan out of me. You see, he bound him. Satan has no longer control over me. Oh, sure, he can come along and he can influence my life. He can come along, he can influence your life. But he has no power.
Amen.
Over you. We're under the power of God.
Amen.
Now, the Son is here. And he bound the strong man when he cast out devils by his word. There can be no neutrality. No neutrality. Verse 30. He said, "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." You can't be neutral. He that is not with me is against me. These words primarily refer to Satan. It's a reasoning he's using to those Pharisees in saying that he cast out devils by the power of Beelzebub. The kingdom has come. The greater has come. He's bound the strong man of the house. He's plundered his goods. He that is not with me is against me. Satan is not with him. Satan is against him. It's a further proof that he did not cast out devils by the power of Satan. Satan is not on the side of Christ, but he is an adversary to him. And we find that from the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 and right on through ever since that day. He's been against him. Verse 15 prophesied that the woman seed would come and deliver a death blow, bruise the head of Satan, and Satan would bruise his heel. But a bruised heel is not a death blow, but a blow to the head. Now that's a death blow. That's a death blow. You see, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Christ is the good shepherd. He gathers his sheep. In the book of John in chapter 10. The book of John chapter 10 in verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Jesus Christ came in by the door. He came in of Israel. He came in of Judah, of the seed of Judah, the seed of David. He came in by the door. The porter opened to him. God opened to him. Let him in. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep. You see, ever since he came in, he's been calling his sheep, and his own sheep hear his voice. And he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and seeth Satan coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Oh, Satan desires to scatter the sheep. Yes, Jesus Christ is gathering his sheep, and he's gathering them into the fold, and Satan desires to come along and to scatter the sheep. He didn't like the fact that they're being gathered and that they're being gathered into the fold. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold. And one shepherd. That's a picture of them all gathered together. in one. Praise God. Satan is he that scatters. Satan is at war with Christ. You are either on the side of Christ or you're an enemy. The book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 tells us you can't serve both. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the God of this world, Satan. You're either for him or you're for Satan, you see. And in Mark chapter 9 and verse 40, he makes that same statement. He said, he that is not against us, well, he's for us. You see, I ask you this morning, as we close, are you with Christ? Are you with Christ this morning? Are you on his side? Or are you on the side of Satan? All who are in the condition of this one brought to Jesus for healing. That is, blind. Blind to the things of God. Blind to the glory of God. Cannot speak his praises. Cannot speak forth the wonderful works of God. You're against him. You're against him. You're not on his side. But Jesus, Jesus can heal. Shall we stand and have a song in closing?